Let us take a moment to present our minds and our hearts before God. As you are watchful, Almighty God, over us, let us be watchful of your presence among us. As you hold us tightly to yourself, let us hold tightly to you. As you speak your word now, may we hear the word of grace through Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This psalm is about God's protection. The psalm is a promise that God will keep us secure in all circumstances, no matter what happens in life. The psalm creates a tension at the beginning because it puts us in the quandary of why is it that mean things happen to people that are people of faith? There actually is the tension between God's protection in everyday life from the vicissitudes of what happens around us and God's protection in a deeper way for our soul, our mind, and our heart. We celebrated the 10 o'clock service that 43 years ago today, one of our members, Senator John Glenn, took that trip into outer space. And Friendship 7. The moon and the coldness of the air did not attack him, and the sun and the heat did not destroy him. Yes, there are protections that are physical around him, but the protection that sustained him and has for these years is the inner protection of his faith in Jesus Christ. In our Presbyterian pattern of life and our tradition, we affirm a very significant and strong word that God is sovereign over all things and that God's providence will keep us no matter what. In Calvinism, that is often referred to as the perseverance of the saints. Another way that's often called is the preservation of God in all circumstances. God's love will never let us go. God's grace will surround us and protect us from the inside out. This wonderment about the nature of God's perseverance and preservation is always held in some tension with other theological traditions in the Christian faith. Richard Mao, in his book Calvinism in the Las Vegas Airport, gives an illustration of the tension. Talks about a train that's on a journey with several passengers on board, and the train stops suddenly in the midst between two stations, and four theologians get off the train to see what's happened, and there beside the tracks is a dead body. The Lutheran makes the comment, "He jumped and he was killed by the fall." Catholic says, "I think he was pushed." The Methodist says, "I think he fell accidentally." The Calvinist, however, says, "If he is really off the train, he's never been on the train in the first place." From my Baptist background, we use the term eternal security. That once God has gotten hold of you, God is not going to let go. For those of us who walk in the tradition of the Reformed perspective, we would put it this way, that once you have received the grace of Jesus Christ in your life and you are in a relationship, God will never let you go. There's a heavy emphasis on God's action that takes the initiative and sustains us no matter what happens. We are in a culture where security is a very important word. a trip about a year ago. I was off to Southern California and Malibu from the Lehi International Airport, referred to as international because there's one flight to Canada. This particular day, there was increased security, and I literally had to carry my bags to about three different places for people to send them through x-ray machines and to open them up and check them out to make sure that there were no hurtful objects inside. The increased security gave me a sense of, I'm glad they're checking on all this. It looks like it's going to be a good flight. And got on the plane, gave my bags to the people who were going to put them in the luggage compartment, and got to the place where I arrived, and no bags got off the plane. They said, we can't understand that. It says the bags are on the plane. But wait for the next flight. The bags should be coming with them. I waited for the next flight, no bags. The third flight, the fourth flight, the fifth flight. By that time, I had decided to go be where I needed to be. At 2 o'clock in the morning, after 24 hours of waiting on the bags finally came. It may have been God's way of saying, you think you're going to enjoy life in Malibu, but it's a little tougher than that. Well, I opened up the bags after they got there, and sure enough, they were my bags, but half of all of my earthly goods that I'd put in them were gone. Somebody had taken my material goods out. What they were going to do with my size of clothes, I do not know. They discovered later on that somebody in security had taken the items from the bags. So much for security. We live in an age of security, and the more we talk about security, the higher our anxiety goes that we are not secure. We are a country that's committed to homeland security, product safety, automobile safety. If you can be surrounded by at least a dozen airbags, that will hopefully make your life better. Gun sale protection, securities and exchange securities, home security, building security, firewalls and virus protection. Unfortunately, there's no job security. As we talk more about security, people who observe American life are saying that our anxiety goes up higher and higher and higher. There seems to be a reciprocal, an arrangement that the more we strive and drive for security, the more anxious we become. Now we're in a conversation about social security, and you can tell the anxiety is going up even more. The fact of it is that the more we invest in external security patterns, the less we are self-aware and committed to understanding the nature of internal security, which is what God's security is all about. Yes, God at times will protect us on the outside, but the commitment that God has to us and the sovereignty and providence is that God will always keep connected to us on the inside, and sometimes that will show itself in outer secure events. About 30 years ago, my wife and I were driving to the place where my parents live in Southern California, a nice, peaceful country town made up of a number of retired people. And we come up upon a light that turns yellow, and I slowed down and decided to stop. It was just within a few microseconds after that I'd smelled some rubber and just look off to the side and notice there are these huge tractor truck wheels that were now backing into the side of my car. And I woke up just soon enough to realize that the driver behind me had thought I was going to go through the yellow light and had to jackknife the truck instead of running over the top of us. That could have been the end. There was a moment, evidently, where the angels of God were looking out for us. But I do not think for one moment that the angels of God always protect us from every tragic event. Those are the moments that get our attention to say, are you leaning into God's internal security? Because that kind of bailing out of tragedy in the moment will not always happen. People around the world die because of tragic events. We are called, because we see the evidence of it, to build a trust relationship with the God who says that I have made the heavens and the earth, and I will provide security for you. Not that your life will be perfect and without trouble, but that you will have the possibility of a relationship where I am showing you how to live in trust. Psalm 121 is called the Psalm of Ascents. It is one of 15 psalms at this section in the book of the Psalms. These are psalms that were sung by the pilgrims who were on a journey to Jerusalem to meet God in the temple, meet God in the holy place of Zion. And they also sang those psalms on the descent on the way back out of Jerusalem. They sang the psalms on the journey. These are journey psalms. There is a common controversy in history about the primary question that introduces this psalm. I lift up my eyes to the hills, and then the question, from where does my help come? There are those who believe that that question affirms that God is on Mount Zion and that the help is coming from the mountain. But there is a whole number of other theologians who believe that the question reduces the importance of the mountain to its proper perspective and said, no, God is more than that mountain. God is more than that temple. God is more than that place. My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. God is greater than a place. God is greater than a circumstance. God covers all places and all circumstances because God is present among us and between us. Inside of us, God gives us security from the inside out. Calvin said on Psalm 121, we ought not to seek safety, but only where it is in God. People have long wearied themselves in hunting after remedies. They will at length find from experience that there is no assured help but in God alone. By the mountains, the prophet means whatever is great or excellent in the world, but we ought to account all such favors as less than adequate in comparison to the God who made the heavens and the earth. The higher power is not enough. The psalm is moving us to address once for all the highest power. This psalm is built around the word keep. Six times that word is repeated. It is the Hebrew word shamar. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber or sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord will keep you from evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep you going out and coming in. The Lord will keep you. Shamar means that the Lord builds literally a hedge around you to guard you and protect you, surround you with grace, to preserve you, to make sure that you are secure. The Lord is watching over you. The Lord sees you and makes note of where you are and who you are. The Lord is attending to you. The Lord is paying attention. Shamar. It would be the equivalent to these kinds of phrases today in our culture. I've got you covered. I've got your back. Or the image of the Secret Service surrounding the President of the United States, making sure that no harm will come. The Lord has got us surrounded. The Apostles' Creed teaches that we believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. We believe that the God who created all things is protecting me and you, protecting us together. The Heidelberg Catechism says to believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, is to trust Him so completely that I have no doubt He will provide me with all things necessary for body and soul. Moreover, whatever evil He sends upon me in this troubled life, He will turn to my good, for He is able to do it, being Almighty God. And He is determined to do it, being faithful Father. We are to be patient in adversity, grateful in the midst of blessing, and to trust our faithful God and Father for the future. People who are on the journey of life, people who were on the journey to the temple and from the temple, were surrounded by the possibility of pain and hurt, of accidents, of thieves, of murder. They knew that their life was in danger as they made that trek. This past week, we have seen how Shiite Muslims made the pilgrimage from various places in Iraq to Karbala, knowing that their lives were in danger the entire way and while they were in the midst of that worship in their mosque. But they were willing to go because they were committed to the God who would be with them on the way while they were there and when they were coming back. If it is true for Muslim people in their faith, how much more should it be true for Christian people in our faith? That we believe that God's protection, in spite of the violence and attacks and the insecurity on the outside, will give us a sense of inner security because the Spirit speaks to our hearts through Jesus Christ. It is important that we know that we are not driven by external security. I ran across the reflections of a 6-year-old Ethiopian orphan in the paper the other day, standing by a window watching for her parents to return. They've been gone for 2 years. They dropped her off at the orphanage knowing that they would die in a few weeks from AIDS. She's still standing at the window looking for them. She would quite often go outside and plant white flowers in their honor. One day, the person who was doing the article heard her sing a song about a girl who wakes up one morning to find that she has only arms and legs. The main part of her body is gone. A bird has flown away with her heart and her torso. The girl in the song is healthy, but she misses her heart and asks the bird to return it. She misses her parents. Her heart is gone with them. There is a movement in our lives where we turn our sense of security from our earthly parents to our heavenly parent. And when we do that, we become aware of the eternal security that is available to us today. That God, in all of God's greatness, can touch our lives personally and give us a sense that neither life nor death, nor height or depth can do damage to us. Because God's love protects us. The apostle says that God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus from the inside out. There are times it's all we have is that sense of God's security in the inside. This past week, I was privileged to be a part of a family who invited me into the hospital for a tragic moment. The daughter was expecting a baby, and the baby was full term, and everything was going very well. They were extremely pleased with how the baby was coming along. The baby was born absolutely gorgeous. They had never seen such a beautiful baby. Just one problem, the baby was born brain dead. The family and the mother were beside themselves with grief and pain. "I don't understand," the young woman said. "The OBGYN promised me that she would help me to have a healthy baby." Her dad met with me in private and he said, "I've tried to protect my daughter all my life from these kinds of pains. I can't protect her from this one. What do I do?" In these moments, you could just sense that the family was turning from a sense of external protection that God is going to magically make everything bad go away to a sense of what does it mean to be driven from the inside out, that the security of God is in our hearts and our minds and our spirit. Unless we make that transition, we miss the total meaning of the psalm. For we know that the people of God, whether they are Christian or Jewish or Islam or any other person who is giving themselves to a faith that is strong and true, will come to the place where they realize that life is tragic and not fair. We who affirm that Jesus is the Son of God, the Christ, the Savior of the world, affirm that it is He who is the Good Shepherd, who keeps us from falling apart when we go through the hardest times, who on the way to the cross will not abandon us because He's been there and He's done that. Jesus will lead us home, and nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Psalm 23 affirms that we will live in the house of the Lord forever because the Lord is our shepherd. There is no guarantee that when we leave here today that we will be protected from violence or accidents, mistakes. The commitment that God is making to us is that God's protection will guard our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. And that we are moved to have that sense of protection from the inside out. If you think that Homeland Security is going to protect you and give you less anxiety, it's not true. Because the only true way of releasing anxiety is when you accept the peace of Jesus Christ in your own life. It is in Jesus Christ that we have peace. And nothing can separate us from that love. Amen.